Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, the Ford Explorer EV goes on sale in Europe. Tesla starts Facebook advertising and Hyundai's major EV investment plan. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you what the boss of CATL is saying about solid-state batteries. And he should know. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Wednesday, 27th of March. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. We go live at 5 p.m. UK. That's normally midday Eastern, 1 o'clock at the minute because of the time difference. Patreon supporters get the shows as soon as they're ready and ad-free. Be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. We'll start with something that tickled me, actually, and that was yet another of what we'll call like the old-school media, like an old newspaper. This is the Times here in the UK. These businesses, I'm not sure what their business model is anymore because no one's buying newspapers, and so I presume they're trying to sort of pivot to being digital publishers, and that means going for clicks, and that means attracting attention, and perhaps they've discovered that being anti-EV attracts a certain type of person that clicks on these links. This article, parked Jaguar EV went rogue and rammed Porsche and Tesla, says owner. And it wasn't. It was a Jaguar E-Pace. It wasn't an electric vehicle in the slightest. And so this is a mild hybrid. It has a mild hybrid system, like so many cars these days, that will operate ancillary equipment, do a little bit of start-stop stuff at traffic lights, preventing some idling emissions. It's nothing to do with being an EV, of course. But why let that get in the way of a headline which is probably going to get clicks and enrage the anti-EV folk and, I don't know, confirm their existing biases? The dispute highlighting ongoing issues in media representation of electric vehicles. Just look at the headline. Parked Jaguar EV went rogue. The owner, of course, has got in trouble with the police for his driving. He says the thing was turned off and that these electric vehicles work on apps and stuff, was his quote. I don't think cars just wake up and start driving on their own. He said his foot was hard on the brake and it rammed into a car. The police didn't believe that story. He protests his innocence. But either way, just the way this was reported. Now, I saw many, many people on my social media feed report this, respectfully, of course, to the Times and the journalist who wrote this, and it appears that some hours later they removed the word electric to hybrid, but they still kept it in, obviously not wanting to admit, you know, what they'd done. But maybe we're overthinking it. Maybe this isn't some sort of deep state agenda from these publishers of anti-EV. Maybe it's just raging incompetence or willful ignorance from, you know, a journalist. I had a look at her, I obviously won't name her, but had a look at her LinkedIn profile. She's the health reporter for that newspaper, or the NHS reporter. And so obviously she's got assigned this thing about cars. Get this out the door, publish. Call it an electric car. Like these people know that it attracts a certain type of reader, clicker, if you like. It'll get some ad impressions, they'll make some money. Probably went down well with her boss, I don't know, and just didn't even think about what a Jaguar E-Pace is. Maybe we're overthinking it. Maybe it's just people being not great at their jobs, or maybe it's something else. But either way, they've half corrected it, but this is just one of a million examples I see. If I did all the examples, we'd be here all day, but this one made me smile because I'm like, they're not even trying anymore. Well, thank you to those folk who sent me this post on X. This is someone who is Ash in China is his username. Works for Geely, so obviously has a bit of an inside track on these things. And that is the Volvo EM90, the MPV all-electric vehicle. I'll pop this onto the screen for our YouTube viewers. And it's began its deliveries yesterday in China. This is, of course, the people carrier from Volvo. They've redesigned the front end of this from its sister car to look, you know, a bit more Volvo-ish. It is just a slab of vehicle, but inside I really like this. And in the back as well, you got the big captain's chairs, very big luxury vehicle, only for the Chinese market for now, unfortunately, because I'd like to see this flying around elsewhere. Maybe we will, but EM90 customer deliveries began yesterday. Some news for Rivian fans, and the Rivian manufacturing facility in Normal, Illinois will temporarily close down from the beginning of April the 5th to the end of the month. I saw some confusion whether it's the 28th or the 30th, but look, either way, they're going to undergo retooling. This was the Rivian Tracker account on X. It's a pause in production aimed at substantially lowering the fixed cost associated with making each Rivian vehicle over the course of 2024. Rivian anticipating a 30% boost in production line rates after this retooling. And they've got some vehicles in inventory and stock. So if you want to carry on with your ordering process of your R1T or your R1S, I think that'll be uninterrupted. And good news that they are still laser focused on increasing those production efficiencies at Rivian. Now, lots of people tagged me in this one, and it was Tesla's resumption of activity on Facebook. Of course, there's no love lost between Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg. Tesla, under Musk's direction, has launched a significant advertising campaign for their Model Y on social media. Facebook is the big one that I've noticed, and people have been sending me examples of that. A couple of pictures I've seen. One of them is a really great image of a Model Y that I think looks very attractive if you're not understanding what EVs are. You heard of Tesla, obviously, and you think you'd like an EV. That's a great image. The other one they've been using is the one that they had with the Austin building and unveiling, where they put the bullhorns on the front of the Model Y, and it jumped over a gap, and they're sort of not sure that's the best image to use. The other ones I've seen are very, very good, though. And the advertising push extends to other social media platforms like TikTok and YouTube videos running as pre-rolls. Also on Instagram as well. So Musk swallowing his pride and sending some money Zuckerberg's way. In fact, Deutsche Bank analysis highlighted Tesla's advertising on Facebook as the first time they've actually spent money on Facebook. The decision to advertise there and Instagram coincided with the announcement of reduced production in China, for instance, a move that has contributed, one of many things, to a 30% drop in its stock price since the beginning of the year. Some background context to this story, which I thought was very nice. Actually, those two companies, Facebook and Tesla, were started all around the same time, back in 2003. Funny how these things, 20 years later, they're two of the biggest companies in the world. Tesla, of course, founded by Martin Eberhard and Mark Tarpening in San Carlos, California, back in 2003. Facebook, of course, Zuckerberg in 2004. And all these years later, still doing business together. Well, this year's New York Auto Show is underway with the first press day today and several key vehicle unveilings happening in the run-up to the event. One of the standouts has to be Genesis, the brand from Hyundai and Kia, unveiling what they called Neolun, which was their concept, but their take on very large luxury SUVs. Obviously they've got cars like that in their stable with the Kia EV9 and Hyundai's version of that coming. And this is not like that vehicle rebranded for Genesis. This is a concept vehicle. It has the rear coach doors that both open in the middle, a la, BMW i3, and saying that design element is destined for the final production model because they've been able to work on stiffness of the chassis and the body frame, the interior of this particularly noteworthy with a form of heating which is under the floor, not using blown air hot heating, blown air heating, but something which is more akin to the kind of infrared heating that we've seen in stuff like, I think BMW have that in their armrest in some of their vehicles. There's home infrared heating and things like that. So a version of that in the vehicle, which they say is more efficient, and all these things destined for full production. I'll keep you updated on the New York Auto Show as it happens this week, and of course more wonderful descriptions like hot heating. I don't know, sometimes brain and mouth have a disconnect between them. Now let's talk about the Ford Explorer Electric. We now have pricing as it's gone on sale today in Europe and an updated range figure as well. And I'll explain why in a moment why that's happened. The electric Ford Explorer now available to order with a starting price of just under £40,000 for my UK viewers and a 374-mile range, initially set for release last autumn. The launch was postponed and because it had to accommodate the new battery certifications which we have over here, prompting Ford to opt for a different battery technology and modify the vehicle accordingly. Now, for my YouTube viewers, I'll pop some footage on screen right now of what the Explorer looks like. Martin Sander, who is head of Ford's Model E division over here in Europe, said the delay resulted in actually a better final product, a more refined Ford Explorer, a more competitive product as well. The integration was delayed because of the original battery not meeting these new UN regulation standards, so they went back and looked at new NMC battery technology and chemistry, so a longer range up from 311 to 374. And if you're thinking, wow, Ford did all this on their own, well, not quite, because this was, of course, all done alongside VW, because this is based on the MEB platform. This is not just badge engineering. This isn't just a version of the ID4, for instance, because it actually sits halfway size-wise. Physically, it sits between the ID3 and the ID4. Aimed at, well, you know, you could say sidestepping any direct competition with the platform cars on which this is based, Volkswagen's MEB platform. But with that comes all of the other technology, like the battery used in the Explorer. So this is very much Ford, say, their identity, their unique design, their features, their stamp, and just using the VW platform. Comes in a few different options. Let me run through those. The extended range rear wheel drive is what I just mentioned for that big range. Extended range battery, rear wheel drive. So that is the 82 kilowatt hour battery that we talk about with VW products, 77 kilowatt hour usable that we talk about, 374 miles of range, £45,875. So for that, you are bang in ID4 territory, Model Y territory as well. Dual motor is the bigger battery that we've seen recently. We're talking about ID3, ID4, the GTX versions. So there's a slightly bigger battery that VW are using, and then Ford used that as well for the dual motor version. 79 kilowatt hours, the extra little bump that the ID3 has got, and that pricing begins at £54,000 for the all-wheel drive version. Entry-level model is known as standard range, and that has a single motor on the rear axle and the smaller battery, which is 52 kilowatt hours usable, and that's the one that starts at £39,875, and availability for that later this year. The inside is very much Ford's own thing, with their big display that you'll be used to seeing in the Mustang Mach-E. And they've got that massive center. What do they call that? They've got a brand name for that massive center console that you can store, like, you know, basically the family dog inside it. It's huge between. Maybe you'd say I'd like a little bit more knee room, actually, but otherwise, it's loads of storage, very practical. Interior is very Ford. You wouldn't guess this is based on VW's MEB platform, apart from maybe the silly glossy buttons on the steering wheel. I think they should have just put a standard steering wheel in there. Other bits that you can kind of tell the similarity with the VW vehicles as well. But it, you know, I know styling is subjective, but I like the look of this. I like what Ford have done with this, made it their own, stamped this their own, but used what I think is good technology underneath the skin. Now, I know there's people who will say, yes, but the Model Y is a better vehicle, has a heat pump as standard, will go further. But this thing is nothing like a Model Y. It's entirely different. If you want a Model Y, I think you'd have bought one already, or you know you're going to buy one of those, and so you can get that for cheaper. Over here, Teslas are a little bit more expensive. In the US, you know, the drum that I'm banging at the minute, the best car to buy in the US right now is the Model Y, because with the federal tax credit which is on that vehicle, it's basically $36,000 out the door before state incentives, which is ridiculous. There's no question. Over here, pricing's a little bit less competitive, and so this, although, yeah, £55,000 isn't an affordable car, it is pretty much where these cars in this segment are sitting these days. Maybe you're not buying these cars for the purchase price. You're doing monthly payments to, you know, get around that. This does have the heat pump as optional for £1,050. What do you think of that? I'd like to know your thoughts in the comments below if you're watching the YouTube version of this, because I'm not sure we should give people the option of that. Like, you know, when Škoda unveiled the ENIAC and they gave people the option of ticking the box to have faster charging. Like, the car could do it, but you could have faster DC fast charging if you paid a bit of extra money. And I said at the time, many times, that was a terrible idea. Like, just if the car can do it, do it. And I think with heat pumps as well, why are we asking people to understand the intricacies of, well, it might help you out in certain temperature conditions and maybe you'll get more efficiency. And have you ever thought about what a PTC heater is in a car? Like, car buyers don't, right? They're like, oh, a heat pump, do I need one? And so maybe Ford are hoping people will go, oh, I'll just tick that and spend an extra £1,000. But I would be inclined to add it to the car, add that to the purchase price. Just don't give people the option, especially here in Europe as well, Northern Europe. It can come in handy when temperatures dip down. Either way, love to know your thoughts on that. And this vehicle as well, which, again, subjectively, I very much like the styling. I like the look of. I think it's good technology underneath as well. Love to hear your thoughts. Well, that's our main news for the day, but there's so much more to come on EV News Daily. If you're watching the YouTube version of this, by the way, and you listen to podcasts already, so you've got an app already with your subscriptions list in, just open it up now if you want to search EV News Daily. That way, I'll be in your feed. So whether you catch this as the audio version or the video version, it's exactly the same, by the way. I used to just kind of split them out and do different versions, but I've now made them exactly the same on both platforms. So you won't be missing out on anything. So add this show to your audio podcast feed. It's free after all. You might as well. Then you've always got the option when you're out and about of never missing the latest EV news. Now let's talk BYD. As profits surge and BYD's net profits up 80% last year, reaching $4.2 billion. Equivalent, marking a significant rise from $2.3 billion in 2022. The financial achievement comes as BYD surpassed Tesla at the end of last year to become the world's biggest seller of EVs, despite facing some big challenges, as all the EV makers have done, with global inflation and interest rates, economic slowdown as well. BYD is soaring. The company sold a record 3.02 million vehicles globally last year, 62% up on the previous year. 1.44 million plug-in hybrids bolstered that number, of course. Over the year, Tesla sold more pure BEVs at 1.8 million versus BYD's 1.57. This year, though, BYD will sell, if it goes as it is, looking like it's going to be more pure electric vehicles over the course of the year. These are the Q4 numbers when we say that BYD is bigger than Tesla. That's the stat that people are wheeling out these days. Earlier this month, BYD reduced the price of their most affordable EV model. Once again, the Seagull. It's a hatchback, and it's now equivalent $9,500. And so they might sell more vehicles than Tesla. Average selling price, though, wildly different beasts. Let's talk Rimac next, and normally we'll be talking about high-end supercars with them, but they just opened up a new facility here in the UK in Oxfordshire to boost their energy storage systems. A leader in battery energy storage systems, the new facility in Witney, if you know Oxfordshire. There's a very cool fast charge near that I use all the time. This expansion aims to accommodate their expansion of their UK team and serve as a centre for excellence for energy storage dedicated to producing Rimac. That's his forthcoming BESS, that's Battery Energy Storage Systems, contributing to the creation of 70 new specialised roles in engineering and technical work, R&D as well. This new facility demonstrates Rimac's dedication to all parts of electrification, and not just the Croatian company being famous, of course, for their vehicles, but other bits as well. The company introducing SignStack, their next leap in clean battery energy storage. Link in the show notes if you'd like to read more. I mentioned solid-state batteries yesterday on the podcast, and I said, well, be careful when you talk about that, because there's semi-solid-state, there's different technologies. This coming from the very top of CATL, the world's biggest EV battery maker, the CEO, Robin Zheng, a PhD physicist, in an interview with Financial Times behind a paywall, so I'll be respectful to their reporting, but I'll give you the gist of what he said. He cast doubt on the immediate viability of solid-state batteries, and the likes of his competitors, Toyota, for instance, have been talking about how solid-state batteries are 2 to 5 years away for the last 20 years. And he says that if anyone is saying, hey, solid-state batteries are just around the corner, there's significant hurdles remaining. Don't believe them. Potential is there for solid-state batteries. He should know that they've been spending significant amounts of money for the last 10 years in developing them, but there's the inefficiency of the technology at the moment, a novel chemistry with pure lithium metal anodes, currently facing numerous challenges of getting these off the test bench and commercializing them. CATL has 37% of the global EV battery market and 40% of the energy storage market. So they know what they're talking about, and they say that lithium ion technology has improved and got better. They're working on sodium ion technology, even condensed matter batteries, promising higher energy storage than the current technology. Solid-state batteries, a bit like hydrogen, get thrown around as a kind of, you know, the golden bullet. It's this panacea that, as soon as we solve this, Toyota is going to have all of a sudden millions of EVs on the road tomorrow. And CATL saying that is simply not true. Now, some major news coming out of Korea today from Hyundai and a major investment there in their electric future. Hyundai Motor Group has unveiled a new initiative to invest 68 trillion won, that is $51 billion within South Korea to generate 80,000 jobs by the end of 2026. I had to read that again. 80,000. Didn't add a zero by accident, did they? That's a huge piece of EV investment news, designed to pioneer the growth of the EV mobility sector globally. And $51 billion being invested by Hyundai, so that's Hyundai, Kia, Genesis, and more as well. A significant portion, just under half, 46% is going to be earmarked for R&D with electric vehicles to enhance the competitiveness and accelerate the transition. The group planning to allocate 35 trillion won towards broadening their R&D. That includes everything from constructing factories dedicated to building EVs and advancing their battery technology. A big investment will go into establishing EV manufacturing in South Korea. The Kia plant, the so-called Evo plant, is currently being built. That's where the Kia EV3 is going to be made. And then in the first quarter of 2026, there's the new Hyundai plant to make a full-size electric SUV for Genesis. Is one of those brands that will be made there. Have we just seen earlier on the podcast what will be coming out of that new Ulsan EV plant? Well, by 2030, Hyundai Motor Group aims to augment their EV lineup with 231 models in total, and boosting their EV production capacity to 1.51 million units annually. So you've seen all those headlines, right, about kind of the softening in EV world. People don't want them anymore. They're piling up on dealer lots. The investment is all drying up. Couldn't be further from the truth. Well, I mentioned Volvo earlier on the podcast, and parent company Geely is set to introduce their new Galaxy E5. The Galaxy E5 is an electric SUV, and the upcoming Beijing Motor Show, this will be their first global debut. I'll pop a little picture of this on the screen for our YouTube viewers up front, looking a bit conery up the front, but otherwise looking like a fantastically designed family car. The vehicle is the first within Geely's new premium Galaxy brand to be available in left and right-hand drive configurations, aimed right in the center of the 16,000 to 22,000 segment. That's US dollars equivalent, by the way. So you're right up against Neo ES6s and Aiway U5s and BYD Seals and more as well. Very competitive segment. Geely aren't mucking around with this. Got some brilliant brands under their belt. And this vehicle will have a global vehicle in right and left-hand drive versions. Well, China has lodged a complaint with the World Trade Organization. They're concerned with the United States' EV incentives as stipulated by the Inflation Reduction Act. The IRA's conditions effectively exclude Chinese EV manufacturers from accessing those subsidies. The action was taken to protect the interests of China's EV sector, they say. Filed on March 26th yesterday, the complaint with the WTO addresses the Inflation Reduction Act subsidies, which China argues distort fair competition and disrupt the market. China complaining about unfair competition and local subsidies distorting the market. China complaining about that. Let's move on. A new J.D. Power study out today says that EV owners are reporting to them that their EV tyres are wearing out more rapidly compared to combustion-powered cars. The J.D. Power 2024 US Original Equipment Tyre Customer Satisfaction Study, which is easy for me to say, says that EV owners are not satisfied with their tyres' durability. Quicker wear is being attributed to greater weight and higher torque in EVs, but isn't it interesting that the top 10 selling SUVs in this country by weight are all combustion cars? So there's that myth once again that all EVs are the heaviest EVs, cars on the road, rather. Well, the US Original Equipment Tyre Customer Satisfaction Study evaluates customer satisfaction across ride quality, wear, traction, handling and appearance. And this was done from August to December last year with 31,000 vehicle owners surveyed, everything from luxury to passenger car to performance and even truck and utility owners. A decent sample size of this. I'd like to know your personal experiences. I haven't personally experienced it. The only set of tyres I put on a car recently was for our old diesel Golf that we never drive because the tyres were so old they were starting to crack, but hey, got it in the driveway. My wife likes it as a backstop. It's fine. But in terms of EV tyres, can't think the last time I put them on. Like, I haven't got a very heavy right foot, though, so I'm not hooning around. But love to know your thoughts. Do your tyres wear out quicker? Is this study correct? Now, obviously, as I do an EV podcast, I'm subjected to the semi-regular comments that all we're doing is moving the emissions from the tailpipe to the power plant that's burning disgusting coal wherever we live. Of course, we know that's not true. You and I know that's not true. But recent studies reinforce that EVs produce far fewer emissions over their lifetime compared to combustion vehicles. Bloomberg NEF's research highlighting recently that regardless of where you are in the world, they looked at markets like the US, China, Germany, and the UK, even Japan as well, where all of those different countries have different energy mixes. They said that in every single case, electric vehicles clearly demonstrate consistently lower life cycle emissions. Now, it does change country to country, region to region, heck, time of day to time of day, according to what's being generated. It's been really windy over here at the minute, so our electricity prices have gone negative. Blows the mind of the EV haters. We get paid to charge our EV because that's cheaper than turning off the renewables production. It's just so windy here. And yet in California, it's going to be sunny during the day, but if you charge your car overnight, well, the grid might be a little more dirty, if you like. So even changes, you know, time of hour to hour. But in a broad study, they said that by 2030, in the United States, for instance, electric vehicles break even, if you like. They start paying back that embedded carbon after 21,000 kilometres. That's 13,000 miles. Now, at the moment, because of where batteries are made and how they're made, there is initially more of a deficit. EVs are dirtier to begin with, and then as battery technology is getting better, by the way, and cleaning up, but also depending on where those batteries are made, more of them will be made in the US, not so much in China, because of the Inflation Reduction Act. That's going to clean up, and so anything after 13,000 miles, you are then in, if you like, you know, negative equity. You are driving a much cleaner car, and those gas vehicles are never going to get cleaner because the grid is only going to get cleaner as more renewables get added to it. So yet another study, hundreds of these over the years, that prove EVs over their lifetime, and that time is getting shorter, the break-even point, have far, far fewer emissions. Couple more stories to go today, and a nice story coming out of Australia. And who would have thought 25% EV sales in this country? Unthinkable a few years ago. But this is specifically from Australia's Capital Territory. This is a LinkedIn post, actually, from Andrew Barr, the Chief Minister there. Popped some sales figures on his LinkedIn page for us to see. And it's wonderful because it points out that last month in February, the ACT had a 25% EV sales of passenger cars, and the next being New South Wales, which is 11.1% new car sales being EV. WA was next with a 10.8% in Western Australia. These stats, the ACT Chief Minister Andrew Barr's LinkedIn page highlighting how some parts of Australia are moving to EV quicker than so many people thought was possible. And finally, a bit of EV news from Thailand. Not too much Thai news on this podcast, but it's the Chinese EV makers like BYD, XPeng and Great Wall Motors who are taking the time to showcase their new EVs at the Bangkok International Motor Show. Well, these companies are expanding their presence, and the likes of Toyota, Isuzu and Ford, who are big sellers in Thailand at the moment, will be under pressure from the incoming Chinese EVs. Thailand emerging as a critical market for EVs in Southeast Asia, actually. A region with over 600 million people, with the Thai government prioritising the development of its EV market. In 2022, Thailand was just 0.5% of global EV sales, and yet it accounted for nearly 60% of EV sales in Southeast Asia, outpacing likes of Vietnam and Indonesia. And so definitely a market that China is looking at very closely. And that is your podcast for today. There will always be a free version of this show online, on YouTube, on audio platforms as well. You are subscribed, aren't you? It's a free subscription, so you may as well, in your podcast app, just search EV News Daily, hit subscribe. You'll get it every day. If you maybe catch the YouTube show some days, you could just delete the audio one, or maybe it's there in your feed, just in case when you're out and about, walking the dog at the gym, then you won't miss EV News Daily. Hopefully in 20, 30 minutes a day, we bring you completely up to speed on the world of electric vehicles. And of course, if you want to support the show, be ad-free and get the show first, you can do that. That's what our Patreon supporters do. Got some new Patreon supporters to thank sometime later this week. Have just signed up in the last 24 hours or so. patreon.com/EV News Daily. And some bonus shows on there as and when I have leftover stories that don't make it into the main show. I'll always pop them on our Patreon feed. Well, our premium partners are Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map, and Lease Plan Electric Moments. All the tools and guidance EV drivers need. Have a good one. I'll see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.